Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. I'm Gwen Berry. Today with me is Jack Jodell of Saturday Afternoon Post and Wayne Johnson, Engineer of Knowledge. Today, we're going to remember 15 years ago this evening, Matthew Shepard was driven from the Fireside Lounge in Laramie, Wyoming, to the outskirts of the city by two strangers who didn't like him because he was gay, and they tied him to a fence, they beat him with the butt of a gun, and they left him for dead. We shouldn't forget those kinds of things. Today's show is dedicated to Matthew and to the unknown man on the mall in D.C. last Friday who set himself ablaze in protest. Self-immolation is all about protest every time. He crossed over late yesterday, and this is the only acknowledgement we can give him. We don't even know his name. And I think there might be, just maybe, a few reasons for some of his, protest. And in the words of a guy I used to love and adore, still do, and I'll bet most of you out there do. So let's listen to him for our intro.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Well, isn't that the truth? Welcome, Jack. Welcome, Wayne. You guys.
Hi, Gwen. Jack here. See, that was so reminiscent of a couple of things I saw on Free Speech TV this week. One of them was almost mirror image likeness, except it was a little less graphic, was on the Tom Hartman program. And another one was on Ring of Fire, a great radio and TV program that Free Speech TV carries. And one thing I wanted to mention here while I thought of it, there's a move out there. This is all made possible, these rise in corporate power, because of that terrible Citizens United decision that five-man conservative Supreme Court just threw on us, you know, so ridiculously. And, you know, there's a very active and strong move to amend the Constitution to overturn that decision. And it's you can find it at movetoamend.com or movetoamend.org. And
yeah,
it's, I'd highly recommend that people go there and check it out.
They're making great headway. I want to mention that the Carlin riff that we just played was part of a post over at Round 37, which is the blog that sponsors us, P. Nolan's In Which Half the Working Class Continues to Battle, the other post that was put up, I think, yesterday. It's really wonderful. Please go on over and read it. Shout out to Tricia. She's also in chat, so I'm shouting out there, too. And
yeah, Tricia.
Trish, don't hesitate to call in and join the discussion. I also think that when you wake up every morning and they continue to pass it's like a badminton birdie, watching it going back and forth by these media jokers on the mainstream media. How the government shutdown is the GOP, then it's the Democrats, and it's all like smoke and mirrors up there. Jack, you say that it's because of Citizens United, but I'm going to dance with you there. I'm going to say it was industrialization.
Well, that's very broad, of course, but I think the immediate cause of this was Citizens United, which is nothing more. That decision, all it did was legitimize the so-called Tea Party, which is really nothing more than a front for billionaires across the country that want to change the government and corrupt the Constitution and change everything favorable to them, as if it isn't already favorable enough.
Absolutely, Jack. And matter of fact, I was here in Gahanna, a little suburb of Columbus, and a little school function, and darn if there wasn't a Tea Party group there. They didn't identify themselves as a Tea Party. But this young girl, probably in her early 20s, came up to me and said, "Oh, would you like to sign the, you know, something like, you know, the right to work?" And I said, "What does that mean?" "Well, that means that when the company's unionized, you don't have to join the union." Well, I went off in her face and I said, "No, there needs to be more union, because every time you're devastating the voice of any worker, you're giving all the power to the corporations, and that's why you are destroying the working middle class in this country." And I said loud enough for everybody there to hear me.
Yeah, thank God. That's great, Wayne.
Because she was not ready for what I hit her with.
You know, guys,
well, that's good.
I have to say that it's both the uniparty. It isn't Democrats being better than Republicans or Republicans being better than Democrats anymore. We're getting it from both ends. Listen to Carlin. Go back to Carlin. He was right. It's all the same ball of wax up there.
It's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. We've known that for a long time, and it's unfortunate that, you know, both are almost indistinguishable from one another, even though the mainstream media, which is corporate-owned, of course, portrays vast differences between the two. They're really not. I mean, they're peas in a pod, really, to speak of, and it's a sad thing. Like I've said many times before, you have very few very good people in Congress these days, among which is that comes to mind is a good person, is Bernie Sanders, who is steadfastly devoted to the advancement of poor people and working class and middle class in this country that everybody else seems to be ignoring.
Good point.
You know what they're ignoring? They're ignoring basic humanity.
Oh, yeah.
We've lost our humanity, and that's where the search has to begin. You guys know I'm all for getting rid of nationalism. I'm all for local sustainability and reaching out to the rest of the world in general so that we heal the planet. I come from that boat, but I understand.
Well, I agree, too. I think you need a, really, Gwen, I think you need a balance. You need to have some things that are big to, you know, to really meet the challenges of worldwide needs. But there are so many things today that are strictly profit-driven that are big and they engulf everything and they corrupt everything, and that's what we're all battling, I think.
Well, you know, if it's like trying to get a decent way to take care of everybody in the community, if we focus on having conversations about our communities, then the politics can evolve and the hierarchy can evolve.
Well, yeah, it's got to start from the bottom. It can't be pushed down on from the top, you know, and the top is corrupt anyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of your labor movements did not start with the corporations or the CEOs. It started with the worker who, or the widow of maybe the man who was working and husband was in those conditions. I can give you the coal mining industry to give you a perfect example because this is one I know very well about. I have very intimate family members who were coal miners and were very functioning in organizing and unionizing the West Virginia coal miners at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a coal mine in Fairmont, West Virginia, Monongahela coal mine. I think I've said this before on the program here. You had a better chance of living in the front lines in the trench warfare of World War One than you did going to work every day into that coal mine. Your chance of survival was greater with the Germans on the other side showing you than to go into that West Virginia coal mine.
Well, it was pure exploitation, and there wasn't enough regulation to ensure safety, and that's what the unions were fighting for.
Exactly.
So I have a question. I have a question for each of you to ruminate on. What do you think is going to happen here? What kind of an end game are we talking about with the hostage situation with the government in Washington right now? You know, that's the big topic.
Well, you know, I think it's safe to say that the Republicans went into this rather recklessly. Ted Cruz is a very dangerous, foolhardy individual, and the reason I say that is that he went in there totally slamming Obamacare, blah, 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 whatever. It has its flaws, there's no doubt about it. But they wanted to shut it down. They were unsuccessful at doing that. All kinds of people are signing up for it. Where it'll lead, we don't know. Well, whether it will actually lower prices, it remains to be seen. But ridiculous was the idea that they could shut down Obamacare or the implementation of it when the funds had already been established for it. And you know, they're now it's devolved into something that's they're not really sure what they're against anymore. They found that the public is starting to blame them, the Republicans, for the majority of the shutdown, and they don't like the shutdown. Nobody likes it. And, you know, they're trying to push it on stupid things like little things like memorials being closed down and how bad that is. Well, you know, look at last week, this Neugebauer from Texas, this far-right goofball from Texas, was out by a bunch of veterans in Washington in front of the full view of the TV cameras. He had to make a big scene just to be seen, you know, and to be supposedly supporting the veterans who wanted to get into this memorial. And here was this poor park ranger. She was just keeping them out because it was closed. And the reason it was closed was because of Neugebauer. So what is this hypocrite doing? It's so outrageous, and it's so phony. It just makes you sick.
Absolutely. And, Gwen, if I can interject here now, we have to remember, this is the law of the land for the last 3.5 years. It has been taken to the Supreme Court and challenged, and they lost in the Supreme Court. There is no validity to what they are trying to do other than hold the country the hostage. Matter of fact, I sent you a little thing. It was a tweet from a man who's head of the Higgs boson research at the University of Maryland. His name's Ted Knight. And his little tweet, a little tongue-in-cheek, I thought was quite perfect. He says, one thing the Republican Party has taught us there in Congress is if you don't like the game and you're losing the rule, you know, you don't like the rules and you're losing the game, just kick the ball into the woods and lose it.
Well, guys, my opinion is all it is. Yeah, my opinion here is that this kind of dysfunction and absolute abuse of the American people, and here I go losing my religion, deserves to be overthrown. That's mismanagement. They're doing it to right now. They are doing it to themselves because, you know, if the economy breaks because of this, it'll break globally.
Yes, right.
It will break globally.
It'll plunge the whole world into a depression, and we don't need that. So they're playing with fire, and they just don't realize it. And the Democrats, you know, they're just going along with it right now, hoping the Republicans will choke themselves, which is not a responsible position either. But, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's a good point, Jack. You know, we can sit, you know, the Democrats, and again, I hold them to blame too, sitting back, see what they're doing to us. Well, you know what? They need to make it more proactive, more, you know, come up with suggestions and stuff.
Right.
You can't just say, they're messing up.
Right. It's not good enough just saying the other guy isn't good enough, isn't good for you. That's not good enough. You got to have reasonable and practical solutions and a battle plan, which neither party seems to have right now. Do you know, we've had a Republican-controlled House, Tea Party-induced, since 2010, beginning of 2011. In that entire time, there has been not one single piece of legitimate, big-time legislation passed under the tutorship of John Boehner. And he's being portrayed now as an innocent victim that's not in control of his party. No, he's been part of the problem, and it's terrible. They haven't done a damn thing. And we're paying him $172,000 a year.
Yeah.
He's a drunk on the job right now,
he's
guys.
A big-time drunk. Yep.
He's a drunk on the job.
And he thinks he can get away with it. Eventually, Americans are so used to being abused by politicians that they don't even contemplate what the real fall of the dominoes is going to be. And P.E. Nolan, Tricia has joined the conversation. Yes.
Great.
Am I muted?
No, you're there. Hi, Tricia.
We hear you, Tricia.
All right, I'm just trying to work in the kitchen and listen to y'all at the same time, multitasking, as always.
Well, very good.
You know, but I missed the last minute of what you were saying, but I wanted to just, like Jack had started off bringing up Citizens United, and while, yeah, I agree that's a big deal and I like Move to Amend and all that stuff, that stuff was outlined in a memo in 1971 by a guy named Powell, who became a Supreme Court justice, and
very
he
true.
Sent it to his friend, who was the head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
So this had already been in the works since the 50s or whenever, you know, people were flipping out about fluoride in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they started this plan back then, Jack, where they started it back then.
Right.
And it shows up in the Nixon White House.
Oh, yeah.
Where Donald Rumsfeld brought in Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a much longer trajectory.
Oh, yeah.
And the point about the unions and West Virginia and all that, I mean, you can see it all there where the U.S. government gave the union boss, I mean, the owners, leftover military planes from World War I to go bomb our own citizens so they wouldn't form a fucking union.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
All right? Absolutely. So, I mean, let's go. This is not new. The dominoes have been falling.
Right.
And these guys pushed them when they bombed our own citizens, just like Obama bombs them today over with his drones.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's looking at that. Or at Fukushima, while we've got this big old show with these bunch of clowns acting like they're parts of Bread and Circus too.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just sit here and say, yeah, the Tea Party is fucked up. Well, yeah, and they were paid to go on TV by the same people who are funding the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and did what's-her-name out in Nevada when they ran that Tea Party woman against Terry Reid with U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, Sharon Eagle, yeah.
Because of Citizens United, and there's mm-hmm. something coming up next week, I forget the name, that's supposed to make Citizens United look like child's play in the Supreme mm-hmm. Court. That they're signing off on while everybody's looking at this bullshit because some asshole in Texas is yelling at a little girl at the memorial he closed his own cell, and this mm-hmm. dumbass bitch in North Carolina stands up and tells a reporter when asked if she would give up her federal paycheck, like all these 80,000 people she just put out of work, and she said, oh, I need my paycheck. I can't do that. In front of God and everybody on national TV.
I know, it's insane. And I saw Debbie Wasserman
Schultz. And this is the product of a U.S. education system that can have people in the voting public who cannot make connections by design educationally in the public education since Dick fucking Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld thought it up under Richard Nixon.
Well, there's a record amount of disinformation going on, and that's screwing everybody up. And I saw Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the big Democrat from Florida, refusing to give up her paycheck on TV last week, too. And I thought, what a bunch of crap. What is wrong with you people?
They're so removed from the way
people are that they don't have any clue how regular people have to struggle
and
live anymore.
And they are so out of touch. They will stand in front of all these unemployed and sunk in debt, underinsured people saying, oh, well, hell, I need my $175,000 a year paycheck.
Right.
You just shove it up your ass with your 58 if you're lucky to get that. You're stealing from your neighbor while, you know, I'm doing a good job here. So I think there is a tinder pot out there right now.
Hey, look at Trish, I think we can sum it up by saying very accurately that there has been a conspiracy, let's be realistic about it, among the very wealthy to completely subdue and push down all the people below them so that they can grab all the wealth for themselves. It's accelerated ever since it began a long time ago, just like you mentioned.
We can't even tell back how long it began. I mean, watch Game of Thrones. They were doing it there, which is based on Norse mythology. I mean, good God, this is the story of the ruling class.
The difference is during the New Deal era, it was under control because the people rose up through a very liberal Congress and passed a lot of legislation that really benefited the country in many, many ways. They weren't able to pass as much as they wanted.
Written by the original progressives and the populace back in the day.
Exactly, yeah. And we need to return to that.
The last time we had the rules against the owners like this.
We need that
level of public participation right now to say no. Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Well, just say no to them. And I don't know how. And all I know is I know how to say no. And if I say no and you say no, then maybe it will be like.
Oh, yeah, we're all starting that. And that's one of the reasons that we're on the program.
Maybe it can be like Horton Hears a Who. You know, when all the who's down in Whoville have to save themselves in that Dr. Seuss book.
Mm-hmm.
And we all say together, we are here, we are here, we are here. Or Yertle the Turtle, you know, Yertle climbs all the way up to the heavens on the backs of every working turtle he can find and treats them like shit and won't feed them and makes them work long hours and all that stuff. But when Yertle the Turtle burped, it brought that king down.
Yeah.
That King Turtle came right down, and that is a story about fascism and Dr. Seuss. And if more people paid attention to Dr. Seuss and read that to their kids, instead of playing Angry Birds on the phone and not paying attention to their kids, then maybe we'd have a society where people cared about each other and being a community.
Well, we definitely
need
that.
Instead of their people on the fucking Angry Birds.
Yeah, we definitely need that, Trish, and that's a very good point. We definitely need that. We need a return to sanity, and we're so insane in what is going on right now. It's so self-centered against the majority of the population. And definitely against the poor and the underclass and all that stuff. I mean, this is not normal. It's not good.
I would simply say just working middle class. And Patricia, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Wayne Johnson, and I...
I've been admiring you from afar, Wayne. I've heard you on the show two or three times and often think, oh, my God, listen to that smart man with that nice voice.
First of all, allow me to say thank you. This is probably the kindest words I've heard today. To give you a little background, I am my family legacy in West Virginia, on my father's side, 150 years plus legacy of being in the Republican Party. And I can tell you that my parents today would not, who God bless their souls, have passed away, would not recognize the Republican Party of what it has morphed into. And my legacy that I want to pass on to my daughters is to purge this lunacy, this non-critical thinking aspect of the Tea Party and the extreme reactionary right in the Republican Party. We have to turn back, to step back and say, hey, let's really deal with facts. Let's use some critical thinking. Don't feed me bull and tell me it's Jell-O, you know.
Yeah. That's, I know, right, bullshit on. When I see
that's
it. Yeah,
that's
hell yeah.
The Republican Party has to return back to, because really, my party originated with saying, you do not have the right to own somebody else, and, you know, as your slave.
Yeah, it began as a liberal party.
Well, and also, I mean, the Republicans started that, like, national parks and shit, and like, the Sierra, what is it? They were just such good stewards. Those Republicans were stewards of the land.
Well, they were progressive Republicans, something that's all but vanished.
Well, they were keeping it for themselves, but, you know, whatever. At least they knew that if they didn't fuck it up, they'd have it later.
Actually, they were true conservatives, folks. Let's not forget that. They were
conserving the wilderness. Teddy Roosevelt was
exactly right.
The wilderness.
Yeah, they didn't corrupt the term.
Right.
They were not dominionists.
Exactly.
Conservative Republicans began as returning to the community the service that they had enjoyed from the community, too.
Absolutely. And the tax code benefited philanthropy. So the tax
they had a social responsibility.
Philanthropy.
Yep. Very true.
Very well stated. Very well, Tricia. That was a pleasure.
Yeah. Very good.
Well, I'm going to go finish cooking my soup.
You sound like a marvelous cook.
What kind of soup are you making, Trish?
Well, I have to get a tooth out tomorrow, and so I'm making me some vegetable beef soup just with frozen peas from the Trader Joe's, man. You know, I just live simply. But it works. Thank goodness I work for an organization that has me dental insurance, so I'm okay tomorrow.
God. Good for you.
But listen, I work at Riverside Church, and Martin Luther King spoke from our pulpit about it's time to break the silence. You know, and as I read Dr. Seuss to little kids every day and look at their parents and say, you know, if you don't make them clean up their own mess, they're going to turn out like a BP executive, and I don't think we need any more of those.
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with
you
more.
It's just, I mean, anyway, that's what I do. To make the world a little better is let me work with young families from this legendary institution. I mean,
that's
it's as
wonderful.
Mainstream as you can get. But
we're right with you, Trish, on that, and we admire your passion, and we salute your commitment to making things better, and that's the best thing anybody can do.
At the moment, folks, while we're talking about insurance and medical coverage, let's give Mr. Trainer a moment here on the show. Take a moment to listen.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, very good.
First, the government shut down partially. It shut down because Republicans and the Tea Party pirates who march to the orders of the Koch brothers' disaster capitalist mentality have now convinced themselves and a statistically significant portion of the viewers playing the home version of this game we like to call the body politic, that Obamacare is a slippery slope to socialism. Now, the obfuscation of the shell game being played with Washington with the cooperation of the corporate mainstream media is in high gear. Just as, remember, 70% of Americans believed that Saddam Hussein was personally involved in the 9/11 attacks after we invaded that country and found no WMDs, in a form of consent that was manufactured with a lie to justify multitudes of war crimes, consent has been manufactured once again for the American people to argue against what is good for them. Not that Obamacare is good for them, mind you, but many think it is actually socialized, which it is most certainly not. What Obamacare is, ironically, is RomneyCare. The Kendall corporations are people, 47% of Americans are freeloading bums. Silver Spoon Leach had a health care plan for Massachusetts when he was governor of that state. Obama took that plan, RomneyCare, called it the Affordable Health Care Act, and in an Orwellian twist, it requires 50 million people to become paying customers to an industry that makes its profits, and greed is good, remember, makes its profits by denying you care. That's how it works. Now, there are some, who, like Robert Reich, who think that the Obamacare is the first step towards a single-payer option that is humane, that is required, that is needed. Take a look.
We ought to have a single-payer plan. We will eventually have a single-payer plan. It's the only rational direction to go in. Everybody admits this, even doctors and medical professionals and heads of medical institutes I sit with and talk with privately, they say, yes, we're going to have to go to single-payer. They just don't say it publicly. The fact we didn't even have a public option in the Affordable Care Act is absurd. On the other hand, though, Amy, the Affordable Care Act is a beginning. Let's be clear. I mean, this is something that Bill Clinton couldn't get, Franklin D. Roosevelt couldn't get, Harry Truman couldn't get, John F. Kennedy couldn't get. I mean, it is at least a major step in the right direction.
But as David Sirota writes in his piece, Obamacare, the gift to insurers that will keep on giving, quote, remember, the primary architect of Obamacare was Liz Fowler, the insurance industry executive who temporarily took a government post to write the new law and then quickly moved back into healthcare lobbying. She was ably assisted by a battalion of her fellow insurance industry cronies who, in 2009, deployed their army of lobbyists to shape the underlying healthcare legislation. She was also backed up by many other Obama administration officials who worked on the legislation and then immediately headed to the lucrative world of the insurance industry lobby. This is not a law crafted with democratic principles in mind. This is not a law crafted with health care in mind, as Sirota says. It is mostly a law about private insurance.
Good point.
Good point.
Yep. It does say
pretty much.
Yep.
I saw
Robert Reich interview on Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! On Free Speech TV about a week ago. She is an amazing person, and so is Robert Reich for that matter. And they have a clearer grasp of what's really going on in the world. And they know, you know, the shenanigans that are happening that are basically screwing the middle class in favor of the wealthy, in favor of the 1%, and they're adding their voices against it just like we are. And it's important information that you will never see on regular TV, on regular mainstream media, because it's anti-corporate and it's truth. You know, they speak truth to power. And, thank God they do, because hardly anybody else does.
Jack, I got to say, I think Robert Reich often sugarcoats to make it look like there's a white hat and a black hat in the political arena, the white hat being the Democrats and Obama, and the black hat being the Republicans who want
to... Well, he's been critical of Obama, too. Let's not get on that bandwagon, because the left shouldn't fight. The left should work for solutions that they can stay together as a united front rather than getting chopped down by one angle or another that the Republicans and the far right will come up with. So I whether he sugarcoats or not, he's basically on the right track, and I'll give him that.
Well, I also add to you this is Obama may not be the perfect candidate that for every, that's everyone, the answer to everyone's idea. But you give me him versus whatever the Tea Party or the extreme corporate capitalists you know, want to throw up there, the predatory capitalists, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm, yeah, it's like many times as we've been, and we've all heard this before, you go into the voting booth holding your nose and pulling the lever. Well, give me those two choices, I still go with Obama.
Yeah, he's the lesser of two evils, and we hate having to settle for that all the damn time, and it seems like we always have to. It's a shame, but we're hoping, and we're all working toward something, a presidency and a Congress that is more responsive to the needs of the people rather than to the needs of special interests or bought-out corporations.
Well said, Jack, well said.
But, you know, the thing is, there's no politicians that I can think of. Even Alan Grayson has his kickbacks. I mean, I can't think of a politician right now. Really, guys. I cannot.
What's Bernie Sanders?
Well, you got me there, Jack. I'm not going to ride on Bernie Sanders at all.
No, you can't. He's about as good as you can get.
He may be able to work the art of compromise to stay in the House. I don't think that he rides with any of them. But I will say this. There just aren't any politicians out there. Like I said before, the abuse of government power is so plain right now.
And civil liberties have gone down the toilet.
The fact that none of the politicians have come across for us, none of them, even our local politicians are the ones who have any kind of integrity or honesty, are basically throwing their hands up in the air. It has become so corrupt. Tammany Hall is everywhere dotted along the trail.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Glenn, let me, from being really my home and everything, is in from the state of Maryland. I still own my farm back there and everything. And I have to give kudos to Miss Barbara Mikulski, who stood up on the floor and said, this temper tantrum of shutting down the government because you it's not what you want reality to be, basically, has got to stop. She called them out on the Senate floor. And Barbara Mikulski has represented the state of Maryland very, very well.
That's what I'm asking for, gentlemen. Show me the money. Show me the real deal.
Well, there are two examples right there, and there are others. Now, nobody's going to be perfect. Gwen, we run into the terrible mistake of demanding perfection. We're never going to see it in government, in politicians, in anything. It's always
not
an art of compromise. It's always an art of trying to get the best you can get for the money.
You are right. Missing.
Well, if I've been a regional sales manager, when you're sitting down negotiating, it has to be a win-win for both parties.
Right.
You guys
and that's what we're looking here.
Rubber stamp to that non-critical thinking public out there that votes in the yes man with the corporate backing who gets all the TV commercials played for him. This is what I'm talking about. No one is standing up and saying the whole thing is corrupt, and we need.
Well, we are.
Well, I think this radio program is doing a pretty good job of that one.
I think so too.
By the way, Gwen, kudos on that. Bravo, Zulu.
We're trying, but when you only have two or three apples in the barrel full of mush.
The building of a castle starts with a grain of sand.
I agree.
Very good point. And you know what? We are those grains of sand. We are those grains of sand, and we got to reach out, and we got to keep on doing what we're doing, and we're going to collect other grains of sand, and pretty soon we'll have a pretty damn big, tall castle. And then we'll have to find what to do with that.
A good base with a good solid mortar in it. To continue on with. That's where we got to
right.
go.
It
has to be from the ground up.
Yes, well, from the ground up, how do we go about saying that it's okay to say, you know, well, I'll take the lesser of two evils? I don't think that's ground up building material.
Right. Well, when I stood in the middle of that crowd at that little school gathering of Bazaar, and this, you know, Tea Party wing, a Stanford wife, you know, Tea Party girl came up and asked me to, you know, basically sign this paper stating I'd be willing to degrade the working middle class's voice that much more by insisting that, destroy the unions here in Ohio. I was not bashful when I stood toe-to-toe with her and told her how idiotic, uneducated, and ignorant she was, and how proactive she was being and actually destroying the quality of life for the working middle class.
Well, you got a point there, Wayne, and we really do, Jack is right. We do have to find the positive reach to work with people who do have
right.
good intentions, but the point is that so many people with good intentions who are already in place in government are so willing to sugarcoat the bad side of the track to keep the engine running, to just
right.
keep
yeah.
the machine
well,
going.
Well, there's a certain amount of complacency that enters into it, and we cannot afford to be complacent any longer. We've got to demand a certain amount of responsibility and attentiveness to the needs of what is really needed out there. And we're doing it in our own little way every week, and we're slowly but surely gaining some following, I hope. And we've
right.
got to just keep that up and hope that it rolls down the hill like a snowball, gathering, till pretty soon it's a pretty powerful force that can no longer be ignored. And that's all we yeah. can do. You know, we can always demand perfection, but we're not going to achieve it. We've just got
right.
to not be complacent, but we've got to keep pushing for the best we can get.
Right. At this point in time, I'd be happy just for the recognition that there is another voice. It's, you know, we don't need to be this drone Stanford wife or, you know, however other aspects you want to describe that aspect. This is the bullcrap you're fed. This is the bullcrap you're supposed to repeat as if it were well-informed and accurate. There is another side that you need to step back and take a look at and say, which one is better for me?
Right.
What the teabaggers are saying or what the moderate Republican like myself voice is out there
mm-hmm.
saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got a point.
And the true liberal progressives.
And liberal progressives, too, yes. So we're all on the same team on that one, Jack, absolutely.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Trish, what do you think?
Well, I was thinking of, like you were saying, okay, now what do we do? And I was thinking, well, maybe someone can have a performance piece of doing an intervention with the few voices in Congress that make any sense and say, maybe we need to rescue them from a snake pit. If there's only three apples in a barrel full of mush, what can we do to rescue them? I'm just saying, if it were once upon a time and we were going to do something, what would we do?
Well, first off, I want to say I really liked your terminology used as an intervention, because at this point in time in Congress, that is really what is needed.
Yeah, we do.
A Tea Party intervention.
You know, and if we love our country with love, we need to go in there and knock those crazy people up, y'all.
That's exactly
absolutely.
Right. Oh, you're talking my language, Trish.
I'm giving you a high five right now, girl.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was at Burning Man. Maybe you dress up. Maybe we have a bunch of unicorns with rainbows. Everybody says, oh, you're just dreaming pie in the sky. Maybe we just go and hit them all with pies. I don't
know. Keep in mind, we've got to put this in historical perspective, gang, and we've got to keep in mind, when the United States declared its independence, it didn't stand a snowball's chance in hell of ever winning independence from Great Britain, because after that, after all, at that time, Britain was the biggest, most powerful military country in the world, in the entire world. And you know what? We ended up beating them, and we didn't do it easy. It took a long time, and it cost lives, and it was a big, tremendous sacrifice, but we ended up doing it because we were determined and we kept at it.
I do think that the idea of making theater of it all, what Trish is alluding to there in a certain way, is very powerful, because I've been watching what they are calling the resurrection or the renaissance of a golden era of television going on right now. And if
yeah.
you take a look at some of the shows that are going, I've gotten myself into watching this one, Sleepy Hollow. And the fella comes back who was fighting from the War for Independence, and gets he looks at a sales slip from Dunkin' Donuts for donut holes, and he gets the taxes and the cost, and he begins to bitch immediately about revolution. And,
okay, and this is on mainstream TV, yeah?
To be.
Yeah.
So, take your power back. And that's what Occupy was about. And that is what Idle No More is about. And there's so many different ones out there. And the only weapon that we have as critical thinkers and people who are understanding what there isn't being said out on the streets and in the houses of Congress and the state houses is this. Our bodies, that's all we got. In the streets, and doing it in a cognitive way.
Well, and also it can be creative expression. I mean, if you're going to look at something like Burning Man has these 10 principles, and one of them is radical self-expression.
There you go.
And we have a right to express ourselves in certain ways, and that's where art comes in. And if you're looking at these TV shows, there's a lot of fairy tale right now in popular stories like Once Upon a Time, and Game of Thrones is just like so embedded mythology and archetype.
Teaching.
And, I think that's something that we know about that we can present as art that will at least we can make a statement. If we're going down, at least if somebody says, what were you doing on that day, we can say something good.
Yeah.
I like your idea. I like your idea of through art. Well, matter of fact, art in many ways has been the beginning segue that has put the chink in the armor to move forward, be it through Mapplethorpe with his iconic photos of the glass of urine, right, saying, the church is denying me and bashing me because of the way I was born and my, the way things are built within me.
Mm-hmm.
But, that made a big statement to more clearer thinkers, saying, okay, I see, it's not just a crucifix in a cross or crucifix in a glass of urine. It was a statement of, this is what religion is doing to me personally. That's my crucifixion, because I was gay or lesbian or whatever, and, that urine in the glass is what I feel about your religion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's a lot of talk generated from that.
Statement. But that's the thing. Art is always the precursor to revolution.
Let's make some art, baby.
We do.
I
tell you, go on to Roundtree 7 and take a look at David's videos. That's art. And he's speaking about the conditions globally of what is going on now. And he sets it to music, a music that's telling a story of how there's got to be a way to see through this, to see clearly, to take up some kind of a issue and make a change. I mean, there's all kinds of art. I think that up late with Pinko the Bear, if you've ever listened to Pinko, he is stream of consciousness radio, but if you listen to Pinko, it's art. What he's doing is he's just giving you his nonstop stream of consciousness about change that needs to come from the left libertarian side of the page. I think it's left libertarian, isn't it?
They have all these little names for themselves. All I can tell you is that when he was at University of Texas, he was a young Republican, and I would not have talked to him when we were at University of Texas if we had known each other. Pinko and I are officially in a relationship on Facebook, anyway, and he's going to get the show going when we get settled back up here.
I'm trying to make is that everybody has a form of art to offer. A form of art to offer. So if Jack does it twice, sometimes three times a week with Saturday Afternoon Post blog. By the way, you can find that on WordPress. Just put in Saturday Afternoon Post into your Google bar and you'll find Jack's blog. It's wonderful. It's a very well.
Thanks for the shout out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so does Wayne. He publishes Engineer of Knowledge. Just put it into your Google.
Because I have I contribute to another one called Man with a Mud Rake. I was a retired history professor up in Toledo. I'm also one of the co-authors on that one too.
Yeah, he does a lot of good things on that website. You and Mudrake does.
Absolutely. Yeah.
These are also expressions of art that are there for us to be influenced by. It's art is an influence, and that's basically why art precursors any kind of change in society.
Yeah, the one stand-up fellow that does political stand-up stuff, I mean, I forget his name now, but he's been on our show, and that's all part of the program.
Yeah, Lee Camp does a wonderful job with his moments.
Great job.
Well, my mission when Pinko's in New York is to get him and Lee Camp together.
That'd be awesome.
That's one of my missions.
Hats off to you. That sounds great.
And
yeah.
We'll see if Pinko's here by the time. Well, Lee is still in town. I don't know. But anyway, I noticed there's Anonymous had said something about a million mask march on November 5th. So I think it's fun. I mean, one of the things that it's hard to do sometimes about getting out in the streets where I think we really need to be is getting up and going.
Yeah.
And sometimes
well, we gotta
it's
keep
easier
moving.
If you have
There's
a
no
friend
doubt.
Or a partner.
Say what?
But sometimes it's easier to have a buddy.
So maybe
if there's a buddy in your neighborhood, you can make a buddy to go be out in the streets with. Like, I know you stand on the corner sometimes, Gwen, with your couple of other buddies.
Actually, I did that to help get Obama elected.
Look at the Occupy movement.
I was going to say, it was better than the alternative.
Look at the amount of eyes that were opened up as a result of Occupy New York.
Sarah Palin, right?
Well, it was Occupy Wall Street, Jack. It was Occupy, and my sister and I were part of Occupy Palm Woo-hoo. Beach County.
Right. It sprang up all over the country.
It did, but
in the world.
Did you notice how the Department of Homeland Security came to all the different police departments and told them how to beat the crap out of people?
Oh, yeah, they're all paranoid.
Yeah.
They're idiots. They're morons. They're untrustworthy.
Well,
we know
I'll
that.
Tell you what, whatever they are, they can plan and they're mean, and they were beating up on us.
Yeah, that's right.
They were coordinated, organized, and
beating. It's terrible.
What? We're
We've
still
lost
working on it
liberties.
Actively. We're still trying to keep a hold of that lithium and shit in Afghanistan so the Chinese don't get it.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's insane. You know?
Yeah, absolutely so.
So, anyway, I'm going to go start cooking my soup again.
Well, thank you, Trish, for your input
thank
today.
Thank you for giving me time.
Oh, you're always welcome.
Thank you for your contribution, Trish.
Hey, Gwen, also I'd like to point out this movement in this country.
Well, that was J. Edgar Hoover of the FBI. He was full of crap.
Yeah, so.
He was full of crap. We all know he was an evil man.
Yeah, and I can't even think of his name right now.
You're talking CIA or FBI?
FBI.
FBI was J. Edgar Hoover.
Edgar Hoover, thank you. My goodness, that was a brain. Left me
okay.
there.
No problem.
But he dressed smartly, didn't he?
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's kind of where we are, you know, today. Is it's the same thing. History repeats itself.
Oh, yeah.
We're
in the middle of a new McCarthyism. There's so much finger-pointing and paranoia going on, it's pathetic.
Right. Well, and like I said, a national icon now, like Pete Seeger, was labeled as a communist and blackballed by McCarthy and hounded by J. Edgar Hoover because he wrote songs like Where Have All the Flowers Gone, meaning, you know, all these soldiers, these young American boys dying on foreign soils for what?
Mm-hmm.
Corporate capitalism.
Right.
Well, Jack.
Predatory corporate capitalism.
Jack, you know, one thing that you say history repeats itself, and of course it does, but the one thing that we didn't have any time before that we do now, and we're working with it, is the technology to make some kind of difference. And this technology, I think, is the key.
Well, you've got to use technology, you know, for a good purpose, and sometimes that happens and a lot of times it doesn't. And I think our current use of technology, the way we're using it, is very good. It's enlightening people. It's telling truth. It's making truth speak to power in a very good way and a very widespread way, just like Occupy was a tremendous thing. It opened so many eyes, and that wouldn't have been possible without the great media sources that we have today that were unheard of and unthought of, you know, 20 years ago.
The social network.
Right.
Yeah, that reminds me. You can follow social networking, and you can follow Roundtree 7 on Facebook or on Roundtree7.com or Roundtree at Roundtree 7 on Twitter. Just putting the shout out to our sponsor. Also, please visit daughtersofisis.com. Go over and take a look at the fragrances of our ancestors. And guys, we're at the top of the hour again.
Oh my.
Boy, I was just getting wound up.
That happens, doesn't it?
Goes fast between thrust and parry.
I'm gonna say, this one just flew by, didn't it?
Thank you, Gwen, another beautiful show.
I really appreciate you, both of you gentlemen, joining me this evening. Jack, as always, as co-host, thank you so much for your patience with my radical expletive.
That's all right. You know, I wouldn't trade your feistiness for anything. That's a good thing to have, you know.
You're a gem. Thank you.
All I say is keep up the good work, because this is where it's going to happen. Grassroots beginnings right here.
Good point, Wayne. Very good. Well, everybody, keep thinking forward. That's all we can do. We can't go backwards. We've got to think forward all this next week, and maybe we'll end this crazy crisis in the government. There will always be another one popping up, but we'll meet that just like we've met all the previous ones, you know. And it's important for us to stay involved, stay aware, and take advantage of every opportunity to spread truth and fairness across the entire political scope.
And I'll just close by saying, keep the progressive mindset, because from that is the root of progress.
Very good.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Jack. I'll sign off.
Thank you, Wayne. Good to talk to you. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. This has been the Sunday Show on Dear Bee Monsters. My name is Gwen Berry. My co-host is Jack Jodell. And our other co-host this evening was Wayne Johnson, engineer of knowledge and man with a muckrake. Jack Jodell, you can find on the Saturday Afternoon Post. And you can find me at the bench here or at daughtersofisis.com. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with you next Sunday for the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. Tomorrow, Spirit Therapy at 7 p.m. with Nicole. So please tune in. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night. Good week. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. See you all.